Tonight, President Biden back on the world stage, declaring to America's allies the U.S. is back. France's Emmanuel Macron applauding Biden's leadership today, saying it's great to have a U.S. president very willing to cooperate. Other G7 leaders singing similar praises, but pushing back on the president's calls to take a tougher stand against China as he now prepares for that high-stakes meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. The scare in the sky, an off-duty airline employee threatening to take down a Delta flight before allegedly attacking two flight attendants and another passenger. The plane forced to make an emergency landing as other passengers jumped in to help restrain the man. The mass shooting manhunt after more than a dozen people were shot in downtown Austin. Shots fired as crowds packed the city's popular 6th Street, sending people running for cover. Big cities rebound. The new images tonight of life returning to cities once ravaged by the coronavirus. Businesses at full capacity without social distancing or masks for the first time in over a year. But there is growing concern over the Delta variant from India as the U.S. nears a grim new milestone. Remembering the victims of the Pulse nightclub massacre 5 years after a gunman killed 49 people in one of the country's deadliest mass shootings, the emotional ceremonies held this weekend and the message from survivors and the LGBTQ community. The terrifying moments at Euro 2020, international soccer star Christian Eriksen collapsing on the field, medics rushing in to administer CPR, the major match temporarily suspended, an update on his condition tonight. Whale Tail, the lobster diver, speaking out after he says he wound up inside the mouth of a humpback whale. And Ticket to Ride, the winning $28 million bid to join Jeff Bezos in space.
ABC News World Headquarters in New York. This is World News Tonight.
Good evening. It's great to have you with us on this Saturday. I'm Whit Johnson. Tonight, President Biden continuing his push to put American leadership back on the world stage. The French president sounding convinced, meeting one-on-one with President Biden today. The second day of the G7 summit, filled with tradition and ceremony. There you see Britain's red arrows soaring above the coastal resort tonight. But the leaders tackling a host of serious issues as well. The pandemic, climate change, China, and then discussions turning to Russia and President Biden's high-stakes meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin next week. ABC's Rachel Scott leads us off from the UK.
Tonight, on the second day of the G7, U.S. allies praising President Joe Biden's leadership on the world stage.
And I think it's great to have the U.S. president part of the club and very willing to cooperate. And I think that what you demonstrate is that leadership is partnership.
Today, the president met one-on-one with French President Emmanuel Macron.
The United States, I've said before, we're back. The U.S. is back.
Our Karen Travers asking the president if that message is breaking through.
You guys, let's go.
And it seems other leaders agree. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson calling Biden a breath of fresh air. And German Chancellor Angela Merkel saying the president stands for a commitment to partnership that was, quote, missing in recent years. It's the first time leaders have all met face-to-face since the pandemic began. The Queen, who hosted a dinner reception last night, insisting on cutting the cake with a ceremonial sword.
There is a knife,
if you want. I know there is.
This is something that's more unusual.
The 95-year-old monarch celebrating her official birthday scaled back as the UK sees a rise in coronavirus cases. World leaders joining forces, unveiling a global plan to fight the pandemic. But that united front tested, with some resisting Biden's calls to take a tougher stand against China and counter the country's growing influence. All this building up to that high-stakes summit in Geneva. President Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin set to meet face-to-face.
I think that what Joe Biden will be doing when he goes to see Putin will be giving some pretty tough messages, and that's something I'd wholly approve of.
Those words from the British Prime Minister there. Rachel Scott is traveling with President Biden tonight in the UK. Rachel, we've been talking about that upcoming meeting between President Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin in Geneva, and you're getting more details about how that will play out.
with the White House telling us tonight that the two leaders will come face-to-face twice for two different working sessions. And unlike the last time around with former President Donald Trump, this time there will not be a joint press conference. President Biden plans to take questions from reporters on his own. The White House telling us they expect this conversation to be direct and very straightforward. Whit?
All right, Rachel, thank you. And David Muir will lead team coverage of President Biden's face-to-face meeting with Vladimir Putin from Geneva next Wednesday. Our coverage throughout the day as well on ABC News. Back here at home, another terrifying incident in the skies. A Delta flight from Los Angeles to Atlanta forced to land. Passengers overpowering a man who allegedly made threats to take down the plane. Reports of unruly passengers now skyrocketing to record levels. This as more Americans return to flying. 2 million screened on Friday for the first time during the pandemic. Here's ABC's Kenneth Moten.
Tonight, a terrifying scene at the cockpit door of a Delta flight from Los Angeles to Atlanta. Authorities say an unruly passenger, 34-year-old Stefan Jamar Duncan, an off-duty Delta employee, was experiencing a mental health episode and threatening to take down the plane while assaulting two flight attendants.
I was just like, you know, he's going to take us out.
The pilot making an urgent announcement asking for strong males to help the crew subdue the passenger. Darren Janae in that gray shirt leaping into action.
We kind of got him down. And we're holding him down, and he was screaming and crying.
The plane forced to make an emergency landing in Oklahoma City before eventually continuing to Atlanta. The FAA says it's seen a record number of unruly passenger incidents. Out of the 2,900 reports since January 1st, 2,200 refusing to comply with the mask mandate. And just last week, a Delta flight from L.A. to Nashville made an emergency stop after a passenger also tried to get into the cockpit. That man eventually restrained with zip ties.
So many of these frightening cases here. Kenneth Moten is joining us now. And Kenneth, we're hearing the FBI is questioning the man in this recent incident. And you're getting more information about potential charges?
Whit, Duncan is expected to be charged with two counts of assault and battery with more charges pending. Interfering with flight crews can carry a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison. Whit?
Okay, Kenneth, thank you. Next tonight, police making an arrest after that mass shooting in Austin, Texas. 14 people wounded, two critically, when shooters opened fire on a crowd. Chaos on the streets, emergency vehicles struggling to get to the scene. Police then carrying wounded people to ambulances themselves. Here's ABC's Zareen Shah.
Tonight, at least one arrest made in a mass shooting that wounded 14 people early this morning in Austin's entertainment district. This cell phone video recorded from an apartment overlooking the scene.
Four rapid gunshots, pop, 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 pop. You just saw bodies everywhere. I hit the ground faster than I knew I could move.
1:24 a.m., police get the first 911 call.
We have two people down, gunshot wounds, one to the abdomen. One to the leg.
Austin 6th Street at pre-pandemic levels with thousands of people delaying ambulances trying to reach the scene.
Trying to make your way through crowds, especially crowds that are panicked like this crowd was, can be difficult.
Hey, right there, pull out. Police instead treating and ferrying the wounded themselves, some transported to the hospital in police cars. At least two in critical condition tonight. Police believe the gunfire erupted from a dispute between two parties.
Dispatch made that the third one to the hip.
Most of the victims, what they call innocent bystanders.
And that manhunt for that second suspect still continues. That area is packed with cameras. And tonight, police still asking anyone with video to reach out. Whit.
And we are thinking about all of the victims there, Zareen. Thank you. Now to America on the rebound. Several major cities moving businesses and sporting events to full capacity. The Chicago Cubs welcoming a packed stadium. But with the Delta variant spreading in the U.S. and COVID deaths approaching 600,000, health experts warn the pandemic is not over. Here's ABC's Trevor Ault.
Tonight, the nation roaring back to life.
Ice cold water.
Major cities fully reopening just in time for summer.
I got my two shots already. Let's open up.
From Chicago to Philadelphia to Washington, D.C., millions experiencing their first weekend with businesses at full capacity without social distancing or mask mandates.
It's pretty exciting. Me and all my friends are, like, all vaccinated, so we're kind of, like,
I'm okay with doing it. I just kind of hope people get vaccinated and stay safe.
But COVID concerns are still looming. The Delta variant, first identified in India, now estimated to be 6% of the cases in the U.S., double since last week.
As much as we want to let our guard down and celebrate, unvaccinated people really need to be careful.
The country on the brink of 600,000 lives lost to the virus. And while death rates have fallen drastically, more than 300 Americans are still dying every day. A heavy toll frontline workers are still facing.
One of the hardest things to be here and see these things daily that we see, and then to go out and to go home and try to live a normal life.
And here in New York, the target requirement for fully reopening is 70% of adults getting at least one shot. We're now only about 0.5% away from hitting that threshold. And today the governor said New York now has the lowest 7-day positivity rate in the entire country. Whit.
All right, Trevor, all for us. Thank you. We turn to the weather now. Temperatures cooling down in the east, but a dangerous heat wave building in the west. 36 million Americans under heat alerts. And amid a worsening drought in the region, Lake Mead, the country's largest reservoir, dropping to its lowest level ever. Meteorologist Greg Dutra is here from our station WLS in Chicago. And Greg, walk us through the next few days.
Oh, good evening, Whit. Fortunately, some storms this afternoon broke the heat in Chicago, but in the west, the worst is yet to come. The Four Corners seeing excessive heat through the weekend. Heat alerts posted from California to Texas. Los Angeles now with an excessive heat watch. Major cities like Phoenix and Las Vegas, they're going to top 115 degrees in the coming days, and that's likely going to break records there. The heat and dry air will combine to worsen severe drought that already covers about three quarters of the west with no relief in sight. And Whit, that's just exactly it. There's no rain through the next couple of weeks, so we're not going to see any of that relief. Whit?
Greg Dutra, thank you. It's good to have you tonight. Now to those expiring enhanced unemployment benefits, Iowa, Missouri, Mississippi, and Alaska dropping them today. At least 25 states in total opting out over the next few weeks, impacting millions of Americans. Here's ABC's Deirdre Bolton.
Tonight, more than 300,000 Americans out of work are losing their $300 per week enhanced unemployment benefit.
It is just, you're done. Everything is done.
Molly Karstens, among those in four states now grappling with the change. The Iowa mom of two unable to work because of medical issues with her one-year-old. The federal supplemental benefits scheduled to end in September, but governors have the right to cut them early, and some are doing so, arguing they are keeping workers on the sidelines. Some economists saying it's not that simple.
There are plenty of workers that are, I think, ready and willing to work, but it's a question of having all of the right elements in place in their personal lives to allow them to go back to work.
In the next few weeks, as many as 4 million Americans across 25 states will lose their benefits at a time when gasoline and grocery prices are moving higher.
We can barely get by with what we have now, so we don't really know what our next step is.
While some states are cutting benefits, others are taking a different approach, with Connecticut and Colorado offering back-to-work bonuses. Whit?
Deirdre, thank you. It's been 5 years since the massacre at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. 49 were killed that night, but the pain still raw for many who were there and for the greater LGBTQ community. ABC's Elwin Lopez is in Orlando.
Tonight, 49 names read one by one for the lives brutally taken away in one of the country's deadliest mass shootings. It was 5 years ago when a gunman opened fire inside the crowded Pulse nightclub in Orlando.
What do you think has changed since the shooting?
It took, I'm sorry.
No.
It's hard because they sacrificed their lives so we could be here today and people can accept us better.
Nima Barami was the manager on duty surviving the attack in a place that prior to that night was home to so many of the LGBTQ community.
We were there in a safe place where we could be anybody who we wanted to be without judgment. And that's what Pulse was about.
Barbara Poma is the club's owner.
I think to the outside world, 5 years is a landmark, I guess, because of the number. But for people who are living it every day or directly affected, 5 years isn't that long.
She's also the founder of the One Pulse Foundation, working to keep the legacies of those killed alive.
The families were able to designate those scholarships in exactly what they wanted it to be.
She recently announced a second round of scholarships in honor of the 49 killed and their families.
Amanda Alvier had always wanted to become a nurse, but she hadn't yet achieved that. And so her scholarship is a nursing scholarship. It's really creating great legacies.
And with the memorial here at Pulse continues to grow by the minute. And just today, President Biden announced he will designate the nightclub as a national memorial, the president calling this hallowed ground. With
Elwin Lopez, our thanks to you tonight. And there's much more ahead on World News Tonight this Saturday. The on-field scare at Euro 2020. The soccer star collapsing mid-game. An update on his condition. Stay with us.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back now with the scary moments at the Euro 2020 soccer tournament. Danish star Christian Eriksen collapsing on the field. Medics rushing in to perform CPR. Fans and his fellow teammates standing by in shock. Here's ABC's Julia McFarlane.
Looking around him, Eriksen.
Tonight, one of the world's leading soccer stars collapsing at the Euro 2020 tournament.
Play is going to be halted again.
Denmark's Christian Eriksen playing on his home turf in Copenhagen. Suddenly stumbling and falling forward on the pitch at just 43 minutes into the match against Finland. His teammates forming a protective circle around the midfielder, shielding him from cameras as medical staff begin performing CPR.
Being in football for 20 plus years, I've never seen a scene such as that, the panic on the players' faces.
Eriksen later carried on a stretcher and transferred to a hospital for treatment, the game suspended. As the world waited for news, concerned fans in a show of unity chanting his name, Christian Eriksen. Eriksen is now awake and stabilized in the hospital, and he'll be staying there for further examinations. Meanwhile, the match resumed at the request of players from both sides. Whit.
Good to hear that encouraging news there. All right, Julia, thank you. To the index, and the lobster diver speaking out after he says he got caught inside the mouth of a humpback whale. 56-year-old Michael Packard says he was diving near fishing boats off the coast of Cape Cod when he was struck by something, and then everything went black.
And I was in total shock. I was like, did I just get bit by a shark? Or no, it's not a shark. I'm in a whale's mouth.
He was hospitalized with minor injuries, but has since been released. Quite the story there. And $28 million winning bid to join Jeff Bezos in space. It's happened. Today's live auction for a seat on Blue Origin's first passenger flight to space lasted under 10 minutes, with bidding starting at $4.8 million. No word yet on who the winner is. The flight's expected to launch on July 20th and will take only about 11 minutes. Finally tonight, America Strong, the high school athlete not letting anything slow him down.
Okay, let's go.
Meet 18-year-old Bradley Rainwater, a high school pole vaulter outside Flint, Michigan.
Good job.
Totally blind since birth, but determined.
Bradley comes from a family of vaulters, including his father, Nick.
I know what it should be like and I know what it feels like, but I don't know what it looks like.
Most kids would not even attempt this, being blind.
Bradley's grandfather,
how many more jumps you got in you?
Is also his track coach.
You have to be somewhat fearless.
Using simple supplies from the hardware store, he devised a guided track for Bradley's pole.
It's just basically garden trim for edging. Brad uses a cane every day. All we had to do was think about, now how can we guide him?
Helping him to keep straight as he sprints, counting his steps.
So in four lefts, I go one, two, three, and on that fourth left, I'm going to jump in the air, go over, memorize the feeling of this, and do it again. We keep the pole on the track and kind of run it down until we get to the box so I know where straight is.
He practices vaulting up to three times per day.
A couple of times it was like getting dark. I said, Brad, it's getting dark. He said, Pop, it doesn't matter to me. I can't see anyway.
He also loves music, plays piano, the saxophone, and is in the marching band.
A lot of my life is based on faith.
That faith and focus driving him to new heights.
Amazing. By the way, Bradley graduated with honors last week. Thanks so much for watching. I'm Whit Johnson in New York.